Live and Lansing, Jack Ebling is on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Welcome back, Jack Ebling and Scott Eckersley. Ebling and you, 1320 WILS. I went out and voted this morning and did that at Cornell Elementary School. Had a stress test first and went out and did that. Scott, have you had a chance to vote yet? Are you planning to do that? Are you going to have time to do that? Not going to vote. Are you registered here or in Lapeer?
In Lapeer.
Okay. Tom Watkins is going to be mad at you. I want to bring in our first guest, and that is indeed Tom Watkins, U.S.-China education consultant, and he's going to talk about voting and why it is so important. Hello, Tom. How are you?
I'm great, Jack. How are you doing tonight?
Just fine. Tell us why, if people are on their way home from work and they have not voted, and maybe they've had a bad day or a tough day, or they have things they want to do on a beautiful Tuesday evening, they should stop off at the polls.
Well, it's absolutely critical today that you vote. I mean, if vote or liberty is history is one way of looking at it as a former state superintendent. I want you to think about this. As everybody that's driving, I want you to look at those people in the car next to you, think of your brother-in-law or someone else you're not particularly fond of their political views, and to think that if you don't vote and they do, they're making the choice for you. This is an absolute critical, critical election. I mean, who is going to be the governor? Who's going to lead this state out of the morass that that we're in? That's the choice that's being made today. It's absolutely critical to get out and exercise that civic responsibility, something that people literally are dying to get around the world.
Tom, I want to bring Scott back in here for a minute, and not because I'm talking about him in particular, but I've talked to a lot of young people in the last couple of days who have no intent on voting. Scott, do you have any idea why that is?
Lack of knowledge about most of the people, most of the candidates. Or if you're talking to people from Michigan State, not many people are registered in this area.
Okay. What about that, Tom? What do we do about that?
Well, I think there's a couple of things. One, I think that we do need to do more and more in order to educate people about what is going on in the electoral process. Phil Power and the Center for Michigan, I think, are doing a tremendous job on doing the Truth Squad, which Susan Damas and Rick Lundland are doing for them to make sure that people are being honest about those campaign ads they're putting out. They're also doing a lot to put information out about the candidates, not the political propaganda from the left or right or from the Democratic Party or Republican Party or particular campaign, just kind of the Sergeant Friday, just the facts. So there are some organizations that are out there laying that out. Certainly our newspapers and other media do a decent job of trying to educate the people. But the other, as I challenge some of the young people, they have a responsibility. You know, democracy is not a spectator sport. You need to get engaged and involved. If not, you're letting other people, you're letting those old farts, as you would say, make the decision for you.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think the whole thing about not being informed is a cop-out. I'll tell you why. I think there is more than enough information, and I'm not saying you should know the detailed backgrounds of every judicial candidate. And maybe there are some things with the propositions that you feel, you know, well, heck, I don't make enough money that the millage increase is going to affect me a great deal. But in terms of this gubernatorial primary, there is plenty of information out there, and I think I could educate anyone in a half hour with enough information that they would know whether those seven candidates agree with their basic fundamental beliefs or not.
I think that you absolutely could, Jack. I think most of us that are engaged in this process. The other one that a lot of people do is, well, it's a primary, you know, I'll vote come November. Well, you know, a lot of people feel that it's going to be a big Republican year this year. And so they're kind of feeling, I'm not sure the Democrat has much of a chance. Well, then you're going to let probably a couple hundred thousand people in Michigan decide by selecting the candidate in the Republican primary. You may be choosing letting those couple hundred thousand people choose who the next governor is going to be if you believe the political pundits that think it's going to be a big Republican year, kind of after 8 years of Governor Granholm and the 2 years with the president being in office, typically the opposition party picks up some momentum during those off-year elections.
Right.
If you believe that, not voting today is, again, letting probably the most conservative voters in Michigan choose who the next Republican governor is going to be in the state.
Well, and in terms of a primary and a smaller turnout, isn't your vote even more important? It's like when you're trying to win the lottery and you're doing it before the jackpot gets up to over $100 million, and then your odds of winning are much less. Your odds of impacting the race are greater in a primary because there are fewer voters.
Well, absolutely, that is true. But we've got to get kind of a feeling that it's not, you know, elections aren't just to pick and choose. You really should be able to vote in every single election that comes down the pike. It's that critically important. And to say that you can't vote because, you know, you happen to be working that day or the like, there is the ability to get an absentee ballot.
Right. That's a little bit late now for some people.
It's too late now, but I mean, people can do that in that process. You know, when I was state superintendent, we literally had a program, and I worked with a conservative state rep from the west part of the state, and we called it Vote. Our liberty is history. And we'd go out into the high schools and talk with them about the importance of vote. Some of those folks that are my age, you know, in their 50s, when we were kids, we were being sent off to Vietnam at 18, drafted into the war. So who was elected president and who was elected to the Senate congressional seats had a direct impact on us at that time. And we tried to engage the young people in a way to educate them why it is critically important for them to get out and exercise that constitutional responsibility.
The other thing, Tom, and I hear this a lot from people say, well, you know what, candidates are all the same, nothing's going to change. Maybe in terms of a national election, you may feel that all candidates are bought and paid for, but the closer you get to home, the more local the election, and in this case, I think you can find tremendous differences spanning the spectrum between, say, a Virge Bernero and a Mike Cox. I couldn't imagine two candidates more different.
There certainly is a big difference between those candidates and, quite honestly, between Virge Bernero and I think anybody on the Republican side.
Right.
Andy Dillon's a little bit closer, perhaps, to a Rick Snyder in temperament.
Right.
And background. But it is just so important that people do that. I mean, the fact that you know, maybe 20% of the people are going to vote today is a sad testimony to who we are as a people. You know, we on 4th of July, we'll enjoy that hot dog and hamburger and steak and talk about freedom and democracy. And then, you know, a few weeks later, the primary election comes around and, you know, 20% of us will go out to vote. What does that say?
You know, the people that I talked to a lot this year on the 4th of July were enjoying that hamburger or hot dog or steak, and they weren't talking about freedom or democracy. They were talking about hamburgers and hot dogs and steak. They weren't paying any attention to the political process. And I'm wondering whether this turnout that we've talked about is pretty reflective around the country, or is it part of the Michigan malaise?
Well, I think, sadly, it's around the country we see these kind of problems. But, you know, again, we're electing a new governor. We're electing a new attorney general come November and secretary of state, and about two-thirds of our state legislature is going to be new through the you know, people that can't run again. So we're going to have a whole lot of novices that are going to be there, and if you don't get engaged and participated during the primary, and if you've missed that opportunity because either you're not registered, get yourself off the couch and make sure you're ready to go in November. But those of you, again, it's about 5:20 in the evening, so we've got to, you know, 2.5 more hours to go. And let me assure you, you're not going to miss your favorite sitcom waiting in a long line at the voting booth.
Took me 6 minutes this morning.
There's only a couple of people that voted before me.
Yeah, I had the driver's license swipe, and actually there was a momentary pause because it checked the numbering of the ballots, and the whole process took me 6 minutes.
Yeah, and the other other is, so it isn't going to take you very much time. The other is to remind the voters is that you have to pick a lane. You have to pick the Democratic lane or the Republican lane.
Yes.
And once you've decided, you can't go back and forth because it'll spoil your ballot. So if you vote in the Democratic primary, you have to stay in that lane. You don't have to vote for everybody if you don't know or don't like them all. But you can't, for instance, vote in the Democratic primary for governor and then switch over to the Republican column for the congressional race or state rep.
Right.
You can't go back and forth. On this one, you have to vote for one or the other.
Right, exactly. Tom Watkins, U.S., China, and education consultant, our guest, encouraging you to get out and use the 2 hours and 40 minutes you have left to get to the polls. Tom, thanks so much. I appreciate it.
It's good. Remember, everybody, vote, or liberty is history.
Appreciate the civics lesson. We'll be right back. We're going to talk with Kelly Bernero, and she's going to tell us how things are going with the campaign and with her father, the mayor of Lansing, today. And they're on their way to Detroit shortly for what they hope will be a very happy occasion tonight in downtown Detroit. We'll be right back with that and more. Ebling and You, 1320 WILS.